Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're having our year-end update with the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. Before we get started, let's take a moment to remember one of Minnesota's fallen. Six airmen who were supporting Operation Freedom Sentinel died December 21st of wounds suffered when their patrol was attacked by a suicide bomber on a motorcycle near Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. The highest ranking was Major Adriana Vorderbruggen, 36, of Plymouth, Minnesota. She was assigned to the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, 9th Field Investigation Squadron, Eglin Air Base, Florida. She is a graduate of Wayzata High School. The major and her patrol will be missed, but never forgotten. And joining me now is Commissioner Larry Shalado from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Commissioner, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's always good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here, sir. And I know one of the things that's been high on your agenda this year is the Homeless Veteran Registry that works by connecting federal, state, county, and nonprofit partners in the shared goal of providing housing services to veterans and their families. Once a veteran is in the registry, these partners work together in a case management approach to create successful and sustainable housing solutions. Veterans can join the registry directly or be referred. Anyone who knows of a homeless veteran is encouraged to call 1-888-LINK-VET. That's 1-888-LINK-VET. Or visit the registry webpage at minnesotaveteran.org. And Commissioner, I know that you've been working hard on that this year. We've had veteran stand-downs, and that's been one of your priorities, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, very much so. In fact, it's a national priority all the way from the office of the president on down. We've been very, very fortunate. We hired a young man, Eric Rumdahl, who came to us. And as he started working with it, because he had background in dealing with homeless people and individuals. One of the things he needed was, and what he found in Minnesota, was we were having a hard time tracking them. They were just in and out, in and out. So he visited with our IT people, and one weekend, a gentleman by the name of Dave Money said, I have nothing else to do this weekend. So he created an app, and it's on their iPhone, and we partnered then with all the service providers for the homeless, and we were able to track, and it was just amazing. But more importantly, it's the concept of synergy, where all of these groups were coming together. They now had a common bond, i.e. the registry, and they started working together. And so now if you came in and you needed had a special need, they can shoot it out real quickly, and before the half hour is over, they would probably get a feedback that who can help them or provide that service. So,
yeah, Commissioner, we've had Eric on the show twice and talked about in detail all of the hard work he's doing out there with all the other organizations in Minnesota that are helping with this. So if our listeners go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and just type in the search device, homeless veterans, you can find those shows that are pretty interesting. But, Commissioner, it seems like an impossible task. You get them all off the streets and all of a sudden here's a new one.
Yes, and I just finished a meeting yesterday. We're dealing and the entire state, so it's not just veteran. You could take the word veteran and replace it with child, or with single parent, or whatever. There's a great need out there, so it's not just veterans on dealing with homelessness. It's the whole state and communities. So we're working very, very hard with state agencies and federal agencies to make sure the awareness is high for everybody.
And Commissioner, I understand you won a couple of your department won a couple of awards for your work on veterans homelessness.
Well, yeah, they said, all right, let's put our app in for an award, and the kind of the Oscar for the technician or the IT people is called the Techie Award, and they submitted it, and they're one of 10 in the state to receive that award. So it's very prestigious, and it's going to look good on a couple of resumes of our staff, so we're very proud of that.
Well, they've done a good job, and I wish Eric well, because he's never really going to finish with that job. He might think he's finished, but the next morning he's got more work to do.
There's job security, unfortunately.
Commissioner, another one of the gentlemen that worked for you that we've had on the show is a guy named David Swantek, cemetery director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery, and he's had a busy year. I believe that you're trying to create three new state veteran cemeteries, and that we were able to open up the second one.
That is correct. The first and flagship is the one at Camp Ripley in Little Falls.
Beautiful place.
Excellent. However, it's getting some major competition now because down in the Preston area, the southeast corner, they have probably on the Root River, the rolling hills. It is just beautiful, beautiful.
Dave said it's going to be the Arlington in Minnesota.
That is, and in the country, because when you have the contractors that are developing it want to use that as their poster child for future business, you know that it's very, very important. So we set our goals, and we had our first two individuals who were laid to rest there, both former mayors of Preston and both Korean World War or Korean veterans. So we've done that. But we have deliberately now held off for additional ones until we get everything set and so forth. So Memorial Day is going to be a big event for us coming up this spring.
The grand opening will be Memorial Day 2016?
That is correct.
It's going to be big doings, Commissioner?
Yes. I'm sure it will be, because I know that community wants, you know, they want everyone down there. In fact, they're even looking at wanting a veterans home there, too.
We're going to have to talk about that, Commissioner, because you usually join us on our live Memorial Day show. So we'll have to figure out how to do that and have the grand opening down in Preston. Okay. And while we're talking about those, the Veterans Cemetery up at Little Falls, there's a main building there, and they've got an art project in there where they're doing these murals for the Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force. And I think they're just incredible. And I would invite our listeners, if they're up that way, to stop in the cemetery. It's right outside of Camp Ripley, and take a look at those murals. Or for more information, you can go to vetsart.org, vetsart.org. Those murals are just beautiful, Commissioner.
Oh, they are. And you're right. And thank you for your comments, because we get a lot of comments like that consistently. So it's, those are those final resting places. And what I'm very, very proud of is when you drive into the entrance, like if you're going to Camp Ripley, I'll always pull in and just drive that circle, because it's maintained.
Just impeccably.
But I also, what struck me is I'll always see a car parked somewhere where a person will be out looking at a specific gravestone. So it is extremely important to the families.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Shelato from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, I understand that you've made some huge progress on the veterans' homes, and you've won some awards over there, too.
we've had a very award-winning year. It's strange, but probably most importantly, though, is we have been able to the flagship is the Minneapolis campus, and it has three major homes on it. And we have finished and are now opening this next month the occupancy for the second of the three. And we have last session gotten fully funded, federal and state, to complete. We'll be tearing down the old third and rebuilding with the new one, state of the art. So as I sometimes tell people, about 80% of my worries and headaches have now dissipated, because all the funding is there, the designs are there, and the workers have been hired. So we're on autopilot, and I like that.
So that was a three-phase project. Yeah. And a few years ago, you were in here, and Commander Pancake was pounding on the table, want to get that funding. You got the funding.
That's right.
And now the construction's going on, so things are coming around.
That's correct. And so Minnesota is done very, very well. And we have capacity maybe for two more veterans' homes in the outstate area. So we'll see what happens this next legislative session.
And, Commissioner, I think you've had a pretty big year with your county veteran service officers as well.
Yes. I mean, you know, they're just doing an outstanding job. And I think there's a lot of things happening, and there's an old phrase, everything connects to everything. Our veteran service organizations have been very proactive. We're partnering with Camp Ripley and the deer hunt, turkey hunts, and so forth, the awareness. And unfortunately, the international stuff keeps the military and the importance of the military on the front page also, that we've just been, where am I going with this, other than the fact that we're very, very proud of the work that's being done.
And Commissioner, we've said many, many times each year that for anything veteran, any kind of problem that any veteran in Minnesota has, the place to start is with their county veteran service officer. Get your discharge certificate. Go visit your county veteran service officer. Get registered with them. If you can't find the certificate, go see them anyway. They'll help you find it. And that's the entry place. And, of course, if you want more information on all that stuff, you can go to minnesotaveteran.org.
That's correct. And that DD-214 is probably one of the most important documents And you won't realize that until about 30 years after you got out of the service. So
where did I put that thing?
Well, you know, the funny part, but there used to be a lot of bonuses that were given out. You know, you and I are Vietnam vets, and Minnesota had a bonus.
State bonus, yes.
Well, the driving reason for that bonus was to get you to turn in your DD-214 so that you could be on track.
Commissioner, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. That mean, so it was almost like a switch and bait or something of that nature, but it's just, how do I get them to turn it in? And but it's very, very important. We get a call every day of people, and it's kind of interesting. We get one from, like, say, Texas, and they'll say, well, where did you get out? Minnesota. So they'll call Minnesota, and we have to look it up. And we have them on record. So we have microfiched, and now we're getting more state-of-the-art so we can find them even faster.
Commissioner, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about 2015 and what's coming up in 2016. We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Shelato from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Larry Shelato, who is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, great to have you here in the studio. There's one question that keeps coming up from our listeners and seems to be some confusion between the Federal Veterans Administration and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Can you explain how you're different and how you interact?
Yes. Well, the federal is federal, okay? And they are controlled out of Washington, D.C., and they have a uniform plan for the homes and the hospitals in particular. As well as all the major benefits. What happened as you go through, you in the state side, you're navigating all of these federal rules and regulations and nuances, if you will. Each state is a little bit differently, but in Minnesota, we have chosen to have a county veteran service officer. And their mission is to help, in a military term, we call them pathfinders. They would come in and they would say, all right, give me your DD-214, which is your discharge paper. They would analyze what was your discharge type, et cetera, where you served, when you served, all of those types of things. And they would find the pathway for you to navigate the VA system. We have a number of people that, for example, during the Cold War, the 50s and early 60s, a lot of people did their draft, did their 2 years of service, and that was fine. So they, unless they served a full retirement, they would not give very many benefits. Then you take someone like yourself or myself. We were given the opportunity to serve, called the draft, and they sent us to a nice Southeast Asian.
Nice warm climate.
Nice warm climate. And when we came back, and then again, they would, and as I said in an earlier segment, the DD-214 became extremely important, and that would be given to the county veteran service officers to have on file also. So they went in turn would say, all right, here's what your status is, and this determines what you were eligible. For example, you and I both served in-country in Vietnam, and the big thing in there, if you will, is a thing called Agent Orange. Well, they finally said it was so hard to determine, so the fact that you were physically there during that time frame, it's called a presumptive, where if you were not in the country, you would have to come up with some very serious documentation to justify why you had it. So it's all over the board, but the county veteran service officers are the subject matter experts, and I want to point out, we require all our county veteran service officers to be nationally accredited, which means we help them go off to a national school and get the certification so they're not just a local good old boy that gets hired. They are subject matter experts.
So, sir, what we're talking about with the difference between the two agencies is when you sign up for federal active duty service, you're entitled to certain federal benefits, and that all comes under the jurisdiction of the Federal Veterans Administration. But the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is, as you say, kind of the pathway for those veterans that are here in Minnesota, whether they're active duty, reserve, guard. They can come to you. You can show them where the resources are to help them, get them to the county veteran service officers. You interact with the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. You interact with everybody, the homes, the whole works, to try to make sure that our 370,000 some veterans here are taken care of.
360 plus. And there's an old phrase too that I often use. It's called, people don't know what they don't know. So if you know a veteran out there or married to a veteran and so forth, make sure they visit with their county veteran service officers just to find out what is available for them.
And, sir, you touched on this year and years past, your department, one of the things that you work on is training of new and seasoned county veteran service officers. But also, you're working on some higher education programs. And I understand that the program you've been working on here in Minnesota sets a model for other states.
And the higher education?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm not sure if we're a model, but we have several things. First of all, we work with we have a department that validates that the programs that the veterans are taking are valid, legitimate programs. They're not these fly-by-night schools that take advantage of veterans, if you will. That's called our state approving agency, and they're very, very good at making sure things are done properly. And we just follow up, make sure that things are being done correctly.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Shalloteau from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, I understand that the campus veterans resource centers have been a real boon to our student veterans. It looks like in the last year they've made 459 referrals to outside agencies such as DEED, the Department of Employment and Economic Deployment, County Veteran Service Officers, MACV, Federal VA. They're really there, as you say again, as another resource to get people to the places they need to get help.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but it goes way back to, to the start of what goes back to when you and I came back home also, is the school, the university system for a lot of our veterans is kind of a safe house. And by that I mean they're not sure what's going to happen. For example, when I got encouraged to go into the military, I didn't get drafted, I enlisted. That's because the draft was going to take me anyway. But when I came back home, everything I had planned before was not going to happen. So I went back to school, and they had a veteran center available. And they sat me down and said, all right, here's what your options are and so forth. And, well, here's this advisor you need to see and those types of things that go on. So what we do is with our veterans, we just want to make sure that they get the proper benefits that they receive, they get the tracking, and that the coursework is being done. But we've also worked very hard with the education systems to get some of their military things transferred into a transcript so they're not repeating stuff that they were already taking.
Commissioner, we just got a couple of minutes left. Are there any big events or any big items that you're looking for in 2016?
Well, we're going to complete the veterans home. We talked earlier about the veterans cemetery and all those that construction. I know I'm forgetting something here, and I apologize.
Veterans employment, I think you're working on pretty hard.
Definitely on veterans employment. And what we're finding is the community, the business community is actively seeking. Now, a lot of the key corporations have actual people. Some of my retirees out of the Guard are now working for major international corporations to help hire more veterans. But also, we're looking at the skill sets that they have and the companies. I've seen some businesses as small as two or three people all of a sudden grow to five or six because they want to hire those veterans and get them going, and they come ready trained. Are close to being ready trained. They just need to get that last little step.
And our Yellow Ribbon programs have expanded greatly into a lot of those companies, and they've all are dedicated to hiring veterans. That's got to be a great, great thing to see, sir.
I am so proud of that Yellow Ribbon program because I just came back from a conference in Orlando where the VA is going to discover a concept where they'll reach out to community entities and so forth. And the whole room of all my counterparts from all 50 states just went ballistic. So where have you been? We have been doing this for years. So I literally sent them, I got a copy from Annette Kuiper, working with the Guard, her 14-page epistle, if you will, saying, here's a template you might want to start with. I got a very nice thank you.
We proved it worked, didn't we?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
Commissioner, I'd like to thank you for joining us again for our year-end special, and I look forward to talking to you many times during 2016.
Oh, I know you will.
This is Commissioner Larry Shalloteau from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. We'll be speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, when we come back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now is Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. General Nash, welcome to the studio. We haven't seen you here for a while.
Thank you, Tom. I came over to see where the time has gone. I'm looking around the room in here. I can't find it, but here we are again talking about the year in review.
And after 5 years of doing this, sir.
Absolutely. Tom, congratulations. You started your sixth year now in November, and I believe today is the 295th show that we've had on our station. So congratulations to that.
Thank you.
And 26 stations, I'm also understanding we're up to. So great work by you and your team and iHeartRadio.
Yes, sir. The Minnesota Military Radio Network's 26 stations around all across Minnesota. And if when our listeners are out there traveling, if you can't hear it on a radio station where you travel to your lake or your farm or wherever, have them give us a call. All they have to do is go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us. We'll be glad to add them to the station. The show is free, and we want to get the word out about what the military is doing in Minnesota to as many folks as we can. And, General, you're the commanding general of the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. And the Guard has a different set of duties from active duty and reserve in that you have a federal and a state responsibility. Could you explain that to us, sir?
Sure, Tom. We get asked that question often as to why we're different than the reserve components. And the Guard, as you mentioned, is responsible to their individual governors in each state and territory and the District of Columbia. And so as the National Guard, we have dual missions. And so we also have an oath that we take for the state of Minnesota and also an oath to the federal government. So when not mobilized, we work every day for the governor of our individual states. And when mobilized on what we call Title 10 orders, we're then under the command and control of the President of the United States during our deployments.
And, sir, I'd like to start with that, if we can, on the federal responsibilities and the federal deployments. You had a pretty busy year in 2015.
It has been busy, Tom, albeit that the number of deployments, individual deployments and unit deployments for both our Army and Air National Guard units is down compared to when we were doing this 5 years ago. We still have a number of individuals that have deployed and our units. About 500 soldiers and airmen have been gone during the past year. To various locations around the globe, and I'd like to let your listeners know where some of the places their family members and probably some of their coworkers have been. About 220 soldiers from the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade and the 2nd Battalion, 147th Assault Helicopter Battalion were in Kuwait supporting Operation Enduring Freedom, and it then converted to Operation Inherent Resolve. We also had, again, from the St. Paul-based C Company, 1st General Support Aviation Battalion of the 171st Aviation Regiment, about 20 soldiers providing medical evacuation in Kuwait. And fortunately, they returned home just in time for Christmas. So it was a great year for those soldiers. Also, out of St. Paul and Hastings, we had B and C companies of our Aviation Support Battalion deployed to Kuwait in support of an operation called Operation Spartan Shield. And then an unusual mission for us that we have not had in Minnesota was our Cottage Grove 204th Area Support Medical Company, providing critical support to a multinational force and the observer mission in the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt. And then currently we have about 150 soldiers from the Wilmer-based 682nd Engineer Battalion in Kuwait as we speak, performing construction and maintenance activities in support of Operation Spartan Shield. And then our two air wings, the 133rd Airlift Wing, has been performing exercises in both Europe and the Pacific. And, in fact, we have one airman that has just returned recently from Antarctica. And that's a pretty special mission down in there supporting the scientific research that's going on. And also from the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth, we've had about 37 airmen that were deployed to support Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Freedom Sentinel, and security missions throughout the Pacific Command.
And, Colonel, we were happy to have your medical support company from Egypt on the show. They called in from Egypt and told us about their mission. And, of course, we followed Colonel Thingvold and the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade and had them on the show several times so that we could let the listeners back home know about what our soldiers are doing overseas.
Well, again, it's the great work that you do at iHeart, Tom, that allows our soldiers and airmen, wherever they're deployed, to be connected back with their family and tell you what's going on in theater. Obviously, it's much different from your days in Vietnam where it was all done by maybe an infrequent telephone call from an R&R location or a letter. It took 7 days. Here you have immediate feedback from locations around the globe talking to people back in Minnesota.
General, I don't know if that's good or bad. Back then, the Red Cross would let us know if something was going on, and we could just pay attention to our mission. But,
well,
but your troops know what's going on back home all the time.
Absolutely. You know, you're competing with those that can Skype back, you know, an hour a day on their computer from locations around the globe. And so modern technology has allowed that connection. And like you said, sometimes it's good. In most cases, it is. But certainly, we don't want bad news to be traveling through Skype versus the channels that we've already set up.
In general, we've also been able to, over the course of the last 5 years, talk about all the Yellow Ribbon companies and the Yellow Ribbon communities that support the families of your troops when they're deployed, and all the other organizations that ship gift boxes and take good care of your troops and help back here. There's a lot of support.
There is, Tom. And I was just recently down meeting with Hennepin County sheriffs, a lot of them who are veterans, just prior to the holidays, and they again were putting together care packages. The staff people working for Sheriff Stanek and the deputy sheriffs and the office people were putting together huge boxes of items to send to their members who are deployed both in the Guard and Reserve.
And it was fun to hear that the chaplains spend a lot of time passing out those boxes overseas, and not just for our troops, but for other troops that are training with them. It's a pretty good deal.
And the challenge then is to make sure they maintain their height and weight standards once they get through the holiday season.
Plenty of 5K runs, sir. We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, on the state side, did you have a busy year as well?
Well, that's our primary mission, Tom. As I mentioned to you, when we're not deployed, we're here at the call of the governor for man-made natural disasters or civil strife. And certainly 2015 allowed us to, again, respond to the governor's orders. And back in April, we had about 30 soldiers and 15 water trucks that were mobilized in response to the avian flu, or H5N2, that had detrimental effects on our turkey population and poultry farms across Minnesota. And, you know, after getting a notice from the governor within 8 hours, those soldiers were able to mobilize, fall in on their equipment, and be in the Wilmer area within less than 8 hours to respond to the need up there for the depopulation that was going on with the poultry flocks. We also had Black Hawk helicopters and crews that were deployed to northern Minnesota in support of the DNR to suppress wildfires. And it was a good year for fires in that we did not have to respond to many in Minnesota. We had a wet spring, and so that contributed to us not being called out a lot. But in August, we got a call, and this happens more frequently than your listeners probably realize, that we respond to other states when there's a need. And certainly there was a need on the West Coast, and from California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Montana for fire suppression capabilities. And we responded to Washington State to assist with their firefighting capabilities, along with a representative from the Department of Natural Resources.
General, one of the things we've learned in the past 5 years is your Guard soldiers and airmen are like dual-use troops, because they've all got civilian employment capabilities and talent. And then they come and they serve in their Guard job. And when you need special talents, you've got a kind of a deeper reservoir than some of those active duty units that they only have one MOS and that's all they can do.
You're right. And that I think, is the strength not only of the National Guard, but also the reserve components that reside in Minnesota. They all have those capabilities, but only the Guard is called out currently. And even by law, that we could have reserve components called out by the governor under special situations, but it's typically the Guard member, the soldier, and the airman that respond to those, and they have incredible work experience, training, and the types of background that we need to be a dual purpose and can bring those civilian employment skills to bear in their military job. And we've seen that not only in Minnesota, but also on our multiple deployments around the globe.
General, we've got about 30 seconds left, but one last question. Can there be a single soldier or airman in the Minnesota National Guard that doesn't understand that deployments are part of the cycle since 2001?
If they are, they're hiding, Tom, because I think in most soldiers and airmen that enlist today have an expectation that they will deploy. And one of the things that we frequently hear when soldiers end their tour of enlistment, they feel kind of left out that they have not been part of a deployment. And now with the less and less demands for service members to deploy, that becomes more and more frequent. So most of them join knowing they're going to deploy, and most of them want to deploy.
That's part of the organization and part of getting promoted and part of being a member of the Minnesota National Guard.
Part of being a professional organization.
Yes, sir. General, we're just about out of time for this segment. We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. When we come back, we'll find out what the expectations are for 2016. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up in 2016. But, sir, before we get to that, one thing we didn't cover about 2015 was you had an exercise called Vigilant Guard. And it seems like training is what I hear the most about when we're talking to your soldiers and airmen.
Well, when we're not deployed, we're always training to deploy or support the state of Minnesota.
And support a high readiness status, sir.
Absolutely. I would think I would want to tell your listeners and to acknowledge to them that the great contributions of our soldiers and airmen and what they provided to their communities and their state in 2015 and their individual and their collective readiness has never been higher in the state of Minnesota. And that's by all objective measurements, Tom, by National Guard Bureau and First Army. And so the hats off to those young men and women who, when they're back in the states, maintain their individual and personal readiness that contribute then to the overall readiness of the state of Minnesota. And so our 34th Division, one of eight in the nation, our Combat Aviation Brigade, one of eight in the nation, and our 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team, one of 28 in the nation, are all ranked number one objectively by measurements from the National Guard Bureau. So hats off to the servicemen and women in the Minnesota National Guard.
In general, we've also learned that you've got a distinct advantage over some states because you've got a facility up in up north in Minnesota called Camp Ripley, one of the best training facilities in the United States.
It is, Tom. The 53,000 acres that we have up there not only provide training opportunities for our soldiers and airmen in the Minnesota Guard, but also to reservists and active duty units, as well as to our interagency partners in state government, to include the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Transportation, where all, at this time of year, people ought to realize that the snowplow drivers all get their training completed, validated, and certified at Camp Ripley before they get out on the roads. And also our Department of Corrections uses a facility up there and others. So it's a jewel of a training facility in central Minnesota.
And a wonderful state asset.
A great asset. And getting back to your question on Vigilant Guard 15, that's a national exercise, and this is the first time it was ever conducted in Minnesota, and it's sponsored and run by U.S. Northern Command out of Colorado Springs, the NORTHCOM, as we call it, Northern Command, as well as National Guard Bureau. And we recently completed an exercise that we've been planning for and preparing for about 2.5 years that was conducted late summer. And it involved about 1,400 participants from not only our Minnesota National Guard, but also Guard units from Iowa, Wisconsin, and Virginia, and nearly 500 other civilians from the state of Minnesota, our federal responders and local responders, at three different sites here in St. Paul, also in Duluth at the port, as well as Camp Ripley, as you mentioned. And so it was a great exercise bringing people together around a common scenario of high winds, flooding, mass evacuation, mass casualties, railroad oil spills, which obviously is on the antenna of a lot of people in Minnesota in preparing for a possible rail car derailment, and is also a chemical spill that we dealt with. So multifaceted, with a lot of agencies contributing to the success of that exercise, as well as providing us lessons learned that we will continue to work on in the future in preparing for the safety of citizens in Minnesota.
In general, I understand you've got another important national training opportunity coming up next year for the Minnesota National Guard. You seem to be at the forefront or at the moved up the list of people to get to train on a national basis.
You're right. this summer, the 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team, part of the 34th Red Bull Division, will be going to the National Training Center in California for a month-long exercise. And that's sort of the pinnacle of training when one goes to a combat training center, whether it's for the heavy brigades in California or the light infantry brigades in Louisiana. And so only two brigades are scheduled to go to that combat training center every year, and Minnesota's brigade is the one that's in the schedule this year, and they've been training for the last year and preparing for doing that. And we're going to then railroad out our tanks and Bradley fighting vehicles to California so they can use in the desert against the world-class opposition force.
Great opportunity, sir. We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, what other deployments and exercises are you looking forward to in 2016?
Well, the Red Bulls continue to participate in exercises. They just came off of one, Yamasakura, in Japan, and they'll do another one of those next year in Talisman Sabre with an exercise that's being conducted in Australia, as well as Cooperative Resolve in Europe. And so there's a high demand for the quality soldiers and staff members of the 34th Division, both in Pacific Command and European Command. And so they'll continue to support the overall total Army effort in those regions of the world. Our B Company of the 2nd General Support Aviation Battalion of the 211th Aviation Regiment will deploy to Kuwait in 2016. And so we're certainly looking forward to their successful operations there. And we'll continue to work with our state partner, Croatia, which will celebrate our 20th year of them being our state partner in Croatia as well as in Minnesota, as we continue to support their NATO operations in Europe and as they're part of a coalition still deploying soldiers from Croatia into Afghanistan.
And you'll have a Norway exchange probably again this year?
We will. And the Norex exchange, as you mentioned, will continue. And I believe this is our 43rd year. And this year is a summer rotation. I started doing summer rotations about a year ago. And we did our first one in northern Norway. And then we went back to a winter rotation. And now this will be the second summer rotation where we'll do an exchange with the Norwegian Home Guard as well as their Rapid Reaction Force, who will return to Camp Ripley and work with some of our civilian agencies as they develop with their SWAT teams and how to do civil reactions with their Rapid Reaction Force from Norway. So that's going to be a highlight again this summer.
And, sir, do you have any priorities for 2016?
Well, Tom, you know I never have my pockets empty. We've always got something that we can pull out. And certainly for 2016, with the resources that are being limited for a variety of reasons.
And excuse me, General Nash, it's Colonel Kevin Olson with the Minnesota National Guard. General Nash and Tom, I got to tell you, we're taking over your airways. We just broke down the door here, and I brought some important people with me. We've got the program director of Twin Cities News Talk, KLTLK, and co-host of Up and Adam, Andrew Lee, with me. I brought Josh Gebhardt and Sergeant Johnny Angelo, our producers of Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Ben is with us, as is Beth Koshin. Importantly, your son Chris is here, and most importantly, your wife Sharon. General Nash wanted to make sure we use the last part of our remaining time not to talk about what's going on in 2016, but to present you, Tom, with the highest military award that the Minnesota National Guard can present to a civilian. So Sergeant Hout Cooper is going to give General Nash the actual medal, and I'll be reading that. So while we get organized, it's important that I inform Sharon of the most important things for Minnesota Military Radio. And Sharon, no acronyms, no politics. And Sharon, no cussing. General, are you ready to present the medal? Tom's being presented this medal, the Minnesota Military Superior Service Award. And as General Nash is putting it on it, let me read the citation for superior service to Tom Lyons from November 2010 through 2015 of November. During this time, Tom Lyons displayed great dedication toward the production of Minnesota Military Radio, a joint production of the Minnesota National Guard, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and iHeartMedia. Tom's investment of his time, talent, and resources needed to plan, produce, and distribute this show contribute directly to his success and the team's ability to tell the soldiers' stories throughout the state of 370,000 veterans and more than 13,000 citizen service members and airmen. His efforts and his time commitment reflects great credit upon himself, iHeartMedia, and the citizens of the state of Minnesota and the Minnesota National Guard. Congratulations.
General, you do have some surprises. Thank you, sir. Hi, dear. Hi, Chris.
Congratulations, Tom Lyons, and to your entire family and for their support of your program over the last 5 years. Well done, my friend.
General, you surprised me this time, and you've done it before, but thank you, sir. And we're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Commissioner Larry Shelato, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk to the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs and learn about Veterans Resilience Project. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week. Thank you, sir.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.